You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Easy. It's like wearing, it is the oldest hat of all the hats, you know? So I've been playing this band for 23 years. Jim and I are OG members. Matt has been in the band for 18 years. Matt McClellan, the guitar player. You know, I know these guys, they know me, and you know, we've established our places within the band, as well as, you know, the way we write. And even though we brought Jerome into the fold and he had his voice as well, he still kind of understood how the rest of us kind of work, and he fell into that, and it just kind of all, you know, it all just gelled right there. And, you know, that's it. That's how it goes.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. I hope you had a killer weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter, and I'm very stoked to have them behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, for today's artist spotlight, I'm very stoked to be showcasing Stone Nomads. Stone Nomads have forged a sound blending colossal riffs, dynamic groove, and all that is heavy. Get ready, everyone. Here is their track, Fiery Sabbath.
We'll be right back.
Sweet. That was Stone Nomad's Fiery Sabbath. The band is based in Houston, and they mix elements of Southern sludge and doom metal on a stoned-out Sabbath trip. They just dropped Fiery Sabbath back on January 5th, 2023, and you should most definitely go check them out. I have put the link to their Bandcamp in the description of this podcast. Massive cheers to Stone Nomads for being a part of the Vox and Hops Artist Spotlight. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that just loves extreme, avant-garde, interesting metal, well, you should definitely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 400 episodes where I sit down with some of the world's most interesting metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. If you would encourage one of your avant-garde music-loving friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm very stoked to be back with Bruce Lamont of Yakuza. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 408.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm very stoked to be back with Bruce Lamont of Yakuza and far too many other projects to mention. Bruce, it's good to be back with you. Last time we had a chat was back in 2020, episode 181. This one's coming out, you know, after episode 400, so it's going to be 400 and whatever that's going to be. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. Good to see you again, so thanks for having me on.
Hell yeah, so stoked when you reached out to me telling me that Yakuza is dropping a new record, Sutra, it's coming out May 19th on Zvard Records. You were nice, very nice, and people that are listening to this will figure it out, but I'm not going to say it. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. Now, what beer do you have on your side that we will be sharing virtually tonight?
Okay, the beer on my side is from a brewery called Hop Butcher for the World. They actually just opened up a tap room here in Chicago, Illinois. Their brewery is nice. Out somewhere in the suburbs. I'm blanking on exactly where. I could look that up while we're talking. But anyway, so I was able to pick up a couple, two, three, four of these. It's one of my faves as far as the IPAs go. Not just this one in my hand, but just overall through most of the ones they have. A bunch of my beer drinking friends love it as well. So, you know, here we are.
Yes, and I'm very, very stoked to also have that beer in my hand.
Where did that come from?
Yes, exactly. More dirigible from Hop Butcher for the World. I've heard killer things about Hop Butcher. As right before we started recording this, I said I feel like I've had one maybe when I played Chicago last time.
Sure.
Hell over North America with Aborted. I feel like a cool fan brought me out some craft beers in exchange for guest lists, which is a thing that happens when Cryptopsy's on tour. So I'm excited to taste this right now. This is a single IPA with Citra, Simcoe, and Eclipse. Let's do it. 6.5%.
Let's crack it. Cracking. And cheers. Toot. Boink. I'm going to go straight can.
Mad creamy. It seems like thick. A nice thick IPA. They seem to have figured something out with the body going on here in this beer. I could smell the hops from over here. That Citra, Simcoe, and Eclipse is just radiating from it. Massive cheers to you for coming back, hanging out with me. Cheers.
Boosh. Cheers.
Ooh, look at that nose. It's so creamy. Smooth, pleasantly bitter. Citrus, like radiating. Melon, a little bit. Very, very cool. How has 2023 been so far for you? It's been a busy year for most of us now that, you know, everything is somewhat back to normal. How has 2023 been so far?
So far, so good. I have no complaints. You know, I've been mostly gigging, so happy to report that. And, you know, we're coming out of a pretty mild winter here in Chicago. Honestly, we could have had it much worse. And, you know, springtime and summertime in Chicago, Illinois is a whole lot of fun. And, you know, it's great outdoor beer drinking weather. Just saying, I mean, anywhere in the world has great outdoor beer drinking weather, even in the coldest of months up there in Montreal, Canada. I have definitely had a beer outside there for sure. You know, but
it's the thing to do. It's the thing to do.
Absolutely. So, but you know, I also do love having those summertime beers. And, so looking forward to, you know, I mean, look through the rest of, see what else 2023 has to offer, you know. So far, so good.
Very good. Well, I'm happy that you're busy and you're gigging and you're back doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Last time you were on a reset. You were drinking green tea when I had you on the podcast last time. How long did that reset last before you came back to the world of the hops?
Oh, it wasn't very long. It was maybe a 4 or 6 week little break, you know, and it wasn't even really the beer that it was. You know, what I was trying to take a break from is more of I love to indulge in the spirit sometimes as well. And, you know, when the older you get, sometimes you need to take a little break. That's all, you know, and that's what I chose to do. And I know it wasn't very convenient for our podcast as we want to talk about beer. But thank you for, you know, allowing me to come in and sip that green tea. And I'm really happy to be back and you know, sipping some suds. As they say, you know,
it's important. Well, if you're, you know, overindulging is not a good thing. And knowing your limits and setting boundaries is very important. And I respect that very much. But you also got to fit into the tight pants to do the Led Zeppelin 2 thing. So I'm not sure if that had something to play into
it.
Yeah,
I mean, well, there wasn't so much that, but yes, you are correct. So for all, every one of these, you know, these IPAs, which I know are can be highly caloric and things like that, there is a green salad that is right behind it. So, you know, it's why you gotta have the balance there. Otherwise, I can't fit in those pants. And daddy can't get out there and, you know, shake that moneymaker, you know. So I don't have to go back to my regular bartending gig. So nothing against bartending. I love it. But, you know, I'd much rather put the wig and the tight pants on any day of the week. So.
Absolutely. It's so cool. Who better to be but the rock god himself? Come on.
That's right.
Since that last chat, we stayed in contact. You were a part of Vox and Hops' Brutal North America, where I paired 22 bands with breweries from across North America. And we released beers together. You guys were teamed up with Dry City Brewing. Shout out to Mick, who has now since moved on to Miskatonic Brewing, which did a collab for Vox and Hops' 4th anniversary. Shout out to Mick, Mickey Rule. Talk to me about your experience with Brutal North America. I do have to say, and this is no shade on any of the other bands that were involved, but Yakuza gave us some of the coolest footage.
Oh!
The performance video that you guys did was so damn cool.
Oh, thanks.
I was very stoked about that. So talk to me about your experience being a part of Brutal North America.
Oh, it was great. Again, thanks for asking us. I mean, we are all pretty serious hopheads, you know. We're big beer guys, especially Jim, who plays drums, and myself. So it was a real treat. And Mick was he's a great brewer and a really really good dude and a huge metal fan and music fan for that matter, you know. And we had a great time. We were there for all of it. You know, I mean, we were there, you know, pitching hops and just all kind of just going through the entire process. And it was super fun. You know, I probably talked about the last episode. I worked for Goose Island for about 10 years as a bartender at their original brew pub. So, you know, I occasionally got to, you know, run downstairs and see what the brewers were up to, you know, just kind of checking in. They had a pretty, you know, pretty big system for a brew pub, you know, and the system they had over at Dry City was smaller, but yet they were really able to like crank things out pretty quickly and produce some really awesome beers. So yeah, it was super fun. And again, thanks for asking us. We really appreciate it. And anytime you do it again, we're in for sure. So
cool. That makes me very happy to hear. And the beer, remind me of the beer. It was a red.
Red IPA. Yes. Blood of Our Enemies was the name of it. So yeah, red, yes. Red IPA. Yes. Yeah, it was fun. It was an interesting, I've been around IPAs and beers for, you know, a lot of years, and I'd never seen maybe one or two different red IPAs, but those don't really come to mind. So that was like something new for us, you know, and for me too, you know. Yeah, as a longtime beer drinker. So yeah, it was cool.
Very cool. I really thought it was creative and cool, and it obviously fits Yakuza because you guys are out there. As everyone says, whenever there's a description of Yakuza, there's the avant-garde term gets thrown around a lot.
Avant-garde.
Definitely gets thrown around there a lot.
Yeah, we've heard it once or twice. That's cool.
Okay, last time we spoke, you were talking about making a new record, so this is it. It's here now.
Yeah.
It took all that time, and I understand that because Cryptopsy takes a damn long time to do stuff as well.
Yeah.
The pandemic didn't help that, but that's no reason really. So Sutra's coming up May 19th, Zwart Records. Talk to us about everything that went into this. You guys were crawling into the room together back when the pandemic was still hot and happening.
Yeah.
Because you had to, because you felt like you needed that creative release. So talk to me about everything that went into creating this new record.
It is 11 and a half years in the making. Last time we did a record that was released in 2012. You know, I would say we were maybe kicking the tires there for a couple of years. And then around 2017, we kind of got the ball rolling again as far as just powering up the Yakuza machine. And while we did that, realized that Ivan Cruz, our bass player, lovely, lovely human being. He wasn't into going along for the ride anymore. So we, you know, kind of left with a new challenge, and it didn't take very long until Jerome Marshall, who's been a longtime friend of ours, actually walked up to me at a beer festival of all things and said, "So, hey, heard I'm your new bass player." And we kind of like that cocky confidence in somebody. I was like, "Oh yeah, cool, all right." And text the other two, and I was like, "Hey, look at this, Jerome Marshall." And boom, he was in the practice space a week later. He already knew a half dozen of our songs. Bam, bam, and that's where it kind of started, you know. Especially with this, we kind of cleared away any like ideas that were already on the table. We brought Jerome in and let him kind of like, you know, get his throw his two cents in as well. Yeah, we respect him as a musician as much as a friend, and he's an equal, you know, to all of us. So yeah, so over the next, I would say, 5 years, you know, from later 2017 until 2021, when we actually recorded the record, you know, we worked on this stuff, you know, night and day, and including during the pandemic. That was the one band out of all the bands I have that we decided that, you know, from day one that we're going to bubble up and keep working, because we were too close at that point. So and we had nothing else to do. So, you know, besides work on like, you know, trinkets in our basements and things like that. So at least we can stick to working on the music. So, yeah. And that was it. So it was recorded in July of 2021. And, you know, the process of getting things out, you know, and art and all that stuff and vinyl delays and everything else. And
yep.
And here we are, finally, May 19th.
Damn, that's exciting. That's exciting. 11 years and a half, taking a break for that long. You're so busy in so many projects, so many hats, so many basically musical identities. How easy was it for you to step back into that Yakuza musical identity, lyrically and vibe wise?
Easy. It's like wearing it is the oldest hat of all the hats, you know. So I've been playing this band for 23 years. Jim and I are OG members. Matt has been in the band for 18 years. Matt McClellan, the guitar player. You know, I know these guys. They know me, and you know, we've established our places within the band, as well as, you know, the way we write. And even though we brought Jerome into the fold and he had his voice as well, he still kind of understood how the rest of us kind of work, and he fell into that, and it just kind of all, you know, it all just gelled right there. And you know, that's it. That's how it goes. So
lyrically, where did you come at from this one? I typically work as a concept is something that really motivates myself and fuels the lyrics that go into a Cryptopsy record. How do you approach creating the lyrics and the atmosphere? The concept of the album art is really interesting.
Oh, thanks.
I still don't quite understand what it is, but I like it.
Cool. I can get to that first, and then I'll talk about the lyric themes. The art is actually a longtime friend of ours, a lady named Sonia, and she takes basically like found wood scraps, anything natural. There's some wheat grain and stuff or something.
Yeah,
and she'll create like these like kind of kaleidoscope like psychedelic images from that. You know, however, yeah, and you know, it is like digitally manipulated, but it is all things from the earth. So that kind of works for us, because we, you know, we're not, you know, we don't run around declaring that we're earth worshipers, but we definitely have a mad respect for it. You know what I'm saying? So it works. It works. The aesthetic works well for us. Lyrically, I try to keep things somewhat like ambiguous and sort of like, I hope people can like kind of get their own you know, can interpret things, you know, their own way through the words and things like that. But occasionally there is like a theme. There's a song called Alice on the Record, which actually was the one song that we, you know, how you just, when you're working on new riffs, you might just like have like a tentative title for things or whatever.
So oh, we had all the time.
All the time. So we had a whole list of those. And that was the one song that title stuck. And the reason why it was called Alice was Matt, our guitar player, thought the second riff of the song, it reminded him of an old Alice, like what Alice in Chains might have written. And I took it a different way. I heard it as maybe I could do something with like the Alice in Wonderland story. But I know it's been done a million times, but you know, in my own way. So I did. And I kind of like just, you know, again, kind of keeping it loose. But it's pretty obvious that I'm borrowing from that. You know, I talk about, you know, mad cards and mad hatters and things like that. But yeah, so that was a theme that, you know, I try to kind of focus on. And that was a fun one. The rest of my, I can't think of anything that really comes to mind. It's like, oh yeah, it's about this or it's this. You know, it's just, like I said, try to keep it open and let people just kind of, you know, interpret it in their own way. But not Alice.
That's super interesting. I'm very partial to Alice, of course, being my daughter's name.
Oh, nice. And so that was the other part we wrote for her as well, too. Just let her know. So
I was on tour with Cannibal Corpse. My wife was pregnant. My daughter was supposed to be named something else. And I went to a bookstore and I picked up a Salvador Dali illustrated Alice in Wonderland, which is super fucking cool.
Sweet.
And I brought it home, gave it to my wife as a present for her birthday, I think it was. And as we're reading that and she's pregnant together in bed before going to sleep at night, we were like, I think we have to call her Alice. I think she's an Alice, and that's what's it stuck. So some other songs that don't have concepts, how do you go about creating lyrics? Is it just like free flow thought processes that fall onto the page, words that seem to fit, stuff like that? How do you come up with these things?
All of the above. Yes. And especially I kind of like wordplay. Like words that might have double meaning. Sometimes I might use things like that, or maybe two words that like may rhyme with each other, but make no sense, like working together, like that kind of stuff. But it might create some sort of mental imagery, like, huh, you know, that's weird and okay. And you know, we're weird. I mean, duh. So yeah, think about all those kinds of things. Yeah. I'm constantly just jotting things down, and then, you know, I might find some things on one page that I've jotted things down that might make sense with some other things, and all of a sudden I'll bring them together and be like, oh, there's almost like somewhat of a narrative here, cool, and just kind of go with that. And again, it's got to work rhythmically, it's got to work phonetically, you know, as a vocalist, of course, all these things that, you know, need to work. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of vocalists rely on particular words for a variety of reasons. You know, like, just, you know, if you're looking for that short syllable word or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or something that like goes dun dun dun, you know, all these words are escaping me right this second. I put on the spot of this interview, but you know what I mean, like, you know, that's the thing, is like, I mean, there's a million reasons for those things too. Or, you know, I don't even know what the hell I'm going now with this whole thing. Words, man, they're hard to think about. Especially if you start drinking.
It's important. It's a singer. It becomes like, it's sort of interesting. And I don't know if it's this way for you, but a band is very, very vocal about song structure and stuff like that. But sure, when it comes to the lyrics, they tend to just sort of expect us to do it.
Right. What the fuck is up with that? You know, I mean, back in the day, some bigger bands would have a lyricist, like, you know, poetically throw these things out to them, and then it would just be our job to like make, you know, sing those
make
words.
Them sound good.
Yeah. Where are those people at? Where are those people that write this shit? I'm just kidding. But yeah, definitely.
They're making real money somewhere.
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, it generally does get thrown at the singer for some reason.
That's
or
funny,
another.
No?
Yeah, right. But you know,
song structures, everyone fights over that.
Right, exactly. Then it comes down, it's like, oh, that's your department.
You know, the song's finished, but I think we should change everything.
Right, exactly.
I had this idea while I was falling asleep, you know?
Exactly.
something that, once again, avant-garde. There's definitely people that did it before, but you were probably the most well-known saxophonist in metal. Sax is now really sexy in metal, and I'm sure you're aware of this. This bands like Rivers of Nile, White Ward are using sax more and more in metal. What is your take on the modern love of sax and metal?
Where you been? Where y'all been? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's great. It's great. I love it. And I've actually jammed with the Rivers of Nile guys before, like one of the first times they came through Chicago. They're really real sweet, and they have a really good sense of like they're very open to a lot of different styles of music, you know, and they want to incorporate that in their own stuff. Which that to me is that's encouraging. So if the sax is somehow if that's like the marker or whatever for people that this is going in a direction where people are actually opening their minds to trying new ideas and bringing, especially in metal, like fuck yeah, that's awesome. I hope that's the case, and I hope more metal bands, you know, are open to doing weird and wild stuff, saxophone or not. I mean, whatever they're into, I don't care. Yeah.
Why is it the sax? Why is it always the sax, you think, versus other horns or something, let's say? Well, what is it about the sax that lends itself so well to metal?
It's made of metal. Or kind of. No, I'm kidding. It is a woodwind instrument, but actually most of it's brass. But, you know, anywho. I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. I always thought of it as like a war. I mean, when I first started using it, I'm like, it's like a war horn, man. Like, that's what I wanted to create, you know. There's a wide range of possibilities with the horn, especially if you run some effects and things. You can do a lot of stuff with that, I think. I mean, it's got some crazy shrieks and shrills if you know how to do that kind of stuff. And the low end can really can be a lot more low endy than people would expect. You know, they're like, oh, this silly little saxophone. You're like, oh yeah, watch this. You're like, holy shit, what? Like, you know. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I keep thinking like, I mean, there's like prog rock bands from the 70s that had all sorts of different instrumentation, and I'm like, I mean, I loved when Peter Gabriel played flute in Genesis. You know, I thought that was badass. I don't know if flute would cut through on some like pretty brutal metal stuff, but maybe. I mean, in a studio sense, and you add a ton of like long reverbs and stuff on it, it could sound really haunting and kind of badass. So maybe that'll make its way into things. I did play clarinet on a couple records here and there on the Yakuza over the years. It works well in the studio. It does not work well on stage. It just doesn't have enough. You can't put enough wind through it to like really make it sing over
anything else. Even mic'd.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Not well enough, unfortunately. So I'm sure someone will be watching this or listening to it and be like, oh bullshit, I can do that. I'm like, good. I challenge you. Get out
the
there.
The electronic flute is coming now. The electronic flute.
Yes. Or electronic clarinets or whatever you got there. There was a thing called the EWI, which is like the MIDI version of a saxophone. Like, I think it was more popular in the 80s.
Everything was electronic in the 80s.
Totally, dude. I mean, we had keytars back then, you know. I mean, the kids are trying to bring those back today, these days too.
Still pretty cool. I think they're still.
I beg to differ slightly, but that's okay.
I want to see someone do like a guitar swing, but
yeah,
a keytar.
I want to see you do it. I want to see you play keytar in Cryptopsy. That'd be fucking amazing. Talk about making the leap. That would be a huge one. I'd be like, you're like, well, I know I have one fan out there. Bruce Lamont loves this kind of shit.
It's avant-garde.
Yeah. But, avant-garde.
There was definitely like French horns and black metal.
Yeah.
I've been wanting for sure there.
Oh yeah,
But I don't see the bugle ever coming in. I don't know.
the bugle. That's funny. When I was like, when I was in my 20s, I lived in like a high rise apartment. I'll never forget. I lived this next to this really, really sweet, very, very old lady, and I was rehearsing my sax one day, and she knocked on the door and she's like, "What you got in there? You playing the bugle?" And I was like, "No, I'm playing the saxophone." Oh, I thought that was a bugle. I'm like, "Yeah, they kind of sound the same, I guess." You know. I could have been worse. I could have been like, what's a bugle?
Oh, Amazing. Something that's crazy about you, and we spoke about it a little bit last time, but the multitude of hats and creativity and constantly being inspired, where does the energy still come from?
Beer? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. It's a lifestyle choice I made a long time ago. You know, I mean, music's always been the thing for me, you know, and just whatever I can do to be a part of it in one way or another. I mean, the jobs I do in Chicago, and I either bartend at a venue or I work a festival, and, you know, I'm on that end of things, you know, and I'm happy to be on that end of things, or performing, you know, or just helping making whatever show happen. Like, the show must go on, and it doesn't just include like you or I being on stage, you know, having our fun. There's a whole lot of other people that are involved in that too. And sometimes I wear that hat and I'm totally great with it. Cause somebody's got to be there, or someone, one of many, have to be there to make that shit, you know, fly. And
on like the production side, is that what you mean? Like setting up?
Yeah, totally. All that stuff. I mean, there's production stuff. There's also, like, I mean, most of the, I'm more in hospitality kind of stuff. I mean, obviously with the beer life and the bartending and things like that. So generally, I help with that end of things, but that's festival stuff that generates income. So they're able to have these events, pay the bands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm simplifying it all, but, you know, that's what I've been doing for forever, you know, and I'm cool with that, working on that end, or, like I said, being on stage. Either way, it's fine. Or I've roadied for Dave Witte a couple times in my life, you know, so, you know, and I'm not even
Dear God I'm, himself.
Yes. I'm not even a drummer, and, you know, but he knows he can trust me, and I won't leave anything on stage, and he'll always get handed a beer at the end of his set, you know, at least one, if not four. No, but I would roadie for anybody. But he's my dude.
Massive shout out to Dave Witte. He's the beer king himself. I'm challenging him, but I'm not anywhere near approaching that goal as of yet. He's really the best.
Yeah.
So nice.
Oh yeah.
So nice.
Oh yeah.
So humble.
Yep.
Killer drummer.
Yeah.
Killer drummer.
Yes. One of the best.
Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
I got into a room with him last November for the first time in about 5 years to, you know, kick the dust off the tires of Brain Tentacles. And it only took 15 minutes for us to start writing songs. And then 2.5 hours Amazing. Later, we had a shit ton of stuff. And that wasn't even with Aaron Dollison. That was just me and Dave. You know, just tossing stuff back and forth. And talk about a guy that's busy. That dude, he's I literally texted him last night. He's in Spain right now. He'll be home maybe in a week or so, and we'll chat again. But he's all over the place. We're going to make this Brain Tentacles thing happen in the next 3 years. No, just kidding. 12 months.
That was my next question. Was obviously there's new Brain Tentacle stuff coming up. So
yeah.
Talk to us about this new stuff. You had a chance to jam just with Dave. You're missing a key member as well. What's coming up there? How can you create something new while staying in the vibe of what Brain Tentacles is?
Just getting in a room with Dave is all it took. You know, I mean, we just kind of, you know, we literally just like. Just kind of feed off each other and just, you know, throw ideas back and forth. He had sent me a bunch of like rhythms that he had over the past like 6-7 months, and I had a couple of ideas like melodically kind of tossed his way too. But now that we were in the room together, we were able to like literally just like volley back and forth, and you know, we do that for about 45 minutes, and then his practice space is only about a 5-minute walk from a couple of different breweries that we haunt, a couple of his haunts in Richmond, Virginia. So, you know, we got to go have a beer for inspiration, maybe two.
Of course.
And then we'll come back and work on some more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he'll text his partner, April. Yeah, we're going to work for another hour. We'll meet you at this place, another brewery. And we'll go there. And maybe we may or may not come back again. Or maybe we would just stay there and have 3, 4, 5 pints and, you know, and maybe we'll just get inspired. Oh, I've actually, funny thing, like, hummed stuff to him in my phone while we were, like, walking together. And I was just, like, just jokingly, I'll text it to him. He'd be like, what is this? I'm like, this is what we're going to try at the practice space later today. He's like, oh, okay, you know, like, that's just him and I. But, yeah, definitely a lot of beer inspires our work, you know.
I like how you're so varied in everything that you do. As you're creating stuff and the ideas come to you, do you immediately know which projects it's meant for?
No.
So there must be, is it like what your brain is like, let's say you're working in that circumstance right there. The ideas that come to you go to that project?
Correct.
Is that basically how you approach it?
I was about to say live in the moment kind of a situation where like Dave and I are in the room. I'm not thinking about Yakuza or anything else. I'm thinking about us and what we do. And just kind of like keep the focus on that. And same with Yakuza. I mean, that's when I'd be in that space. I wasn't thinking about, oh, this maybe this little ditty I just wrote for this. Maybe I can, you know, use the tail end of this for a brain tentacles thing. It doesn't really work like that. They're different kind of projects and different people.
Totally.
So yeah, it's more of like an in the moment kind of thing, you know.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Something that's really, really important for me is talking about mental health. Sometimes we don't feel good, and I might like to showcase that and say that it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to approach these harsh subjects and harsh emotions. And I like to ask my guests what they do when they are in a dark moment. What is a tactic that you've built for yourself that you could share with Vox and Hopsheads that are listening right now?
I thank you for bringing this up. It is something that I think about a lot, not about myself so much, but there are a lot of people out there that struggle, and yes, they need to know that it's okay. We're all humans. We're all human, and we all have a variety of emotions that, you know, we deal with on give it every 5 minutes of the day. You know, I do a lot of meditative breathing kind of stuff. I mean, in the morning, in the evening, but also throughout the day. A calming like breath exercises, like the four, seven, eight, where you take, you know, 4 seconds, you breathe in through your nose, you hold it for seven, and then you slowly exhale through your mouth for eight. You do that 4 to 6 times in one sitting. It tends to work, you know. I mean, if you're a little elevated, it might not work right away, but if you just kind of keep at it, you know, those are some things I try to do. You know, if not feeling like in the right headspace, I may say I'm going to take some time off of, you know, drinking and anything that would kind of like send you, I don't know how to say send you, but like just anything that might just like add to your mental state or any kind of issues you're having with that. I mean, maybe caffeine might be causing anxiety for you. So maybe pull, you know, back off that and those kinds of things. Yeah, but I do think about it a lot. Not, you know, not dwell on it, but, you know, I mean, it's okay not to be okay. That we've,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure. So, and sometimes a really good throwdown fucking, you know, thrash metal show with a real gnarly pit, that helps sometimes too. I'm not saying you gotta like take your anger on anybody, but just have some fun, you know. That helps too sometimes. So, you know,
the breathing is interesting because it really, if you purposefully take a moment to stop and to just focus on breathing, it really allows your brain to sort of like reset.
Yeah,
it's super interesting. No one has mentioned that to me as of yet. I don't meditate, but I understand the benefits of it.
Yeah.
With a busy brain such as mine, with everything that I have going on, it's a very interesting tactic to force your brain to only focus on breathing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is something that we just do naturally on its own, right? On our own.
Yeah, totally. And I would say, like, you know, sometimes people get turned off the idea of, like, actually, like, oh, I'm going to go sit and meditate now. Like, maybe that's not the thing for you. Maybe, like, I'm saying, just, I take these breaths I'm talking about, like, while I'm driving the car. I'm not closing my eyes. I'm just doing this. But sometimes I am, just for fun. But that's a whole other part of the story we'll get to later. But, all joking aside. Yes, those just, you know, just breaths in the car or by yourself, anywhere you want me. I mean, I could be on the train, you're just sitting quietly, you know, maybe you pop your headphones in, there's not any music happening, or there's some soft music playing, and you do these kinds of things. You can just do it wherever, you know? I mean, I don't know. I picked that up from, I did take the Transcendental Meditation courses back in 2019, and some of the things I got from that was they expressed in these I hate calling them classes. I want to call them
seminars.
workshop, whatever. The one thing I picked up was that you could do this anywhere. Oh, you can you can meditate anywhere. You can literally just, you know, close your eyes and be on the bus or wherever. And I thought, oh, that's a nice idea. So yeah, I just kind of took that idea and just, like, did it with the other breathing stuff as well, too. I mean, they're all similar. You know, they're all based on breathing. It's all based on, like, focusing on one very basic concept, like breathing, and that's it. You're not thinking about the million of other things that go on, you know, throughout your day and in your own brain and whatever. So, I don't know. Simplifies things, at least for the moment. Speaking of...
Yeah, exactly. We're right on the same. we're gonna switch gears.
Part two,
and take it up a notch.
Yes, all sides are green. This is where the interview gets real interesting. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. This is a double India Pale Ale, Nelson Sauvin Simcoe Riawaka. So the New Zealand hops coming in hard here.
Yep.
Although I'm not. I don't know if Simcoe is, but I know the first two are.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm assuming it is, if since they paired them together.
Sure.
Super different nose on this. Very interesting. I still have some of this one, too. This one's the citrus farty as hell. It's cat piss fart citra. This is, like, way more like bubblegum. Like melon bubblegum.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
8.5%, if I remember correctly. That's correct. Yeah, 8 point. See, the booze kicks a little bit more of a booze bite on it.
Yeah.
But still super creamy, smooth, melony. Very, very, very cool. I'm doing this whole new segment called Fight the Hops, where I ask my guests a small goal that they're working on, something that they hope to achieve over the next month or so, 2 months. Could be business orientated, could be personal, could be fitness, life goals, whatever. What are you doing right now to fight the hops?
Well, it's a lot of stuff. Always doing music things. One thing I'm actually excited about, he's my BFF, and he also happens to engineer almost every record that I play on. His name is Sanford Parker. And he and I have played in bands together. We actually had a band together, which it's an open-ended project, so it never ended. It's called Circle of Animals. We did a record on Relapse a long time ago, and we have talked about reviving that, but we're taking it into a new direction. So that's something that in the next month or so, we will get down in the studio and start messing around. So he's been scoring some soundtrack, movie soundtrack stuff.
I want to ask you about that.
Yeah. And I played on a couple of them, and we kind of want to take it to another level. And that's kind of like the theme for our project is kind of writing more like cinematic style, music together, either for a film or just for a record, you know, either way, it doesn't really matter. But, there you go. That's the thing I'm going to focus on in the next month.
That's very cool. And when you step into the studio with Parker, is it do you have stuff laid down, stuff? Because the way you mentioned it was like you just go into the studio and just create stuff.
For the stuff we did for the soundtrack stuff, he just called me in and was like, hey, I have a couple ideas. Bring a couple horns. We'll run through this. For that, I just went in kind of blind, and whatever he asked, I just kind of played it. This time he has some solo music that he's been kind of sitting on for a while, and so have I. And we're just going to kind of like see how they work together and start there. And then we'll kind of let that dictate our path, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So movie soundtracks. And this is something interesting because I just did a post-rock episode with a dude from EF. And I was saying that post-rock, a lot of the big post-rock bands don't release new albums anymore because they're getting hired to do these soundtracks. And why would you put all this effort and time into creating an album to go tour it when you can just sell it as a soundtrack and get paid big ass money? So was this basically an aspiration of what might happen with Circle of Animals?
Maybe.
You got the Led Zeppelin 2 gig keeping you happy and fed at home, and then you can start just pumping out soundtracks.
Trying. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll see where it takes us. You know, I don't think too far ahead about it. So, but yeah,
very cool.
I mean,
what genre of movies? Because what I did see on your socials was a horror movie that you guys did together.
That was The Inhabitant. Yeah,
that's right.
And then there's another one coming out. Actually, I think he did three, and two of them are horror films. I think I'm on both of the horror films. And then the third one, I don't really know. For Circle of Animals, what we're going to write towards. I mean, we're just dark people, so we're going to end up, that music's going to be dark in one way or another. Now, the instrumentation, dark and weird, though, so and we'll have a little weirdness to it, you know. But yeah, I would assume it's more for like a thriller, maybe not so much like a gory heart, you know, gory horror film, but you know, you never know. So, but yes, I didn't think we'd be, I mean, if someone wants to hire us for a love story, I'm not opposed. I'm up for the challenge, you know. So,
you think that sax would work with that?
You would think. Maybe not the way but not
when Bruce is playing.
as my wife's just looking at me through the door right now, smiling. Like I'm like, you know, little do you know what I do when I walk around the house and I play for her. You know, only her.
Gets her in the mood. Something that you did do over the past summer or fall months was play with and tour basically with a massive pop act.
Yeah.
Dry cleaning.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about that. About wearing that hat, being the avant-garde sax player that steps out on tour with a massive pop, just mad huge. So talk to me about doing that and
sure.
Playing different. Well, obviously you do Led Zeppelin too, so you can turn it on. You know, like different personas basically.
Sure. Yeah.
But this is different.
Yeah, I, you know, there's a little backstory. I'll give it really quick. They came to Chicago to play their first shows, and they're playing a place called Empty Bottle, which I've worked at for a number of years. And I got hired to actually drive them for a couple of days, and we just really hit it off.
You do it all.
I mean, this is also coming out of the pandemic. I didn't take any gig I can get my hands on, but I'm actually happy to do that. I love driving bands. So, yeah, we got to know each other. We were friends. And as I mentioned before, but Tom, the guitar player, is a closet kind of metalhead. And he kind of trolled through my Instagram page and was like, whoa, whoa, you play with so-and-so. Oh, whoa, you're in that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, and was like, hey, would you ever consider playing sax with us? And I had never heard of them before driving them. And then I saw them play. And I was like, oh, I like this band a lot. Like, they have really good pop sensibilities. Everyone in the band just kills at what they do, you know. And anyway, they were coming back to Chicago playing this festival called Pitchfork Music Festival, which I also work at. And I said, and they're like, would you sit in with us? And I said, yeah. So I sat in just for a song, and it went over great. And the band loved it. And they were like, dude, anytime you come to Chicago, we'd love to have you sit in. I'm like, okay, great. And they were coming to Chicago at the same night I had you playing with Led Zeppelin 2. And I obviously couldn't sit in with them, but I was like, man, you name the place and I'll show up and I'll play there. Like, dude, you show up anywhere on tour, we will totally have you. So I took that for what it was, and I looked at their schedule and I was like, I can do Philly and New York because I had some extra, I had some points. I could fly out there, not bother them with anything. And I asked them, they're like, fuck yeah. And show up in Philly and, you know, played a couple songs and they liked it. And the next night they're like, will you play a couple more songs? I was like, sure. So I ended up, you know, they said, boy, if you're on this whole tour, you'd play the whole set with us. And I was like, all right. But anyway, all that aside, their music was really easy to just jam on, you know, with them. And it was really fun. And they're really open to weird and wild things. So again, we that's how we bonded. So
very cool.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome.
And they're great. I can't say enough about them. So not only are they some of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life in a band, and like you said, they're getting huge. I mean, we were in Brooklyn. It was a sold out show. It was like 1,500 people. It was like people were like going ape shit for them, and I was thrilled because they really like they just have really good hearts, and they really like, you know, don't let it go to their heads or none of that shit. It doesn't mean come into their world. They're just like grateful for everything that they do, and they're young, and I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, get out there and kill it, you know, that's awesome. So there you go.
I love it. You've played with so many people, collaborated with so many people. Is there a bucket list artist that you haven't had the chance to jam with, to hang out with, to collaborate with?
I don't know. Most of the people I would have loved to maybe, you know, played with have passed on from this world, unfortunately, you know. But I just keep going back to, like, I mean, for a lot of years in. And early Yakuza, I always like, I used to dedicate a song to Napalm Death every night. And sure enough, 2019, I get the call and I play with them at Metro in Chicago. And then I get the call again. Yes. And I play with them again. And now every time they come to Chicago, I sit in with them and they're fucking, they rule as humans. And
they're so cool.
They're the best, you know? Yeah, they're fucking awesome. So yeah, that was a big one on the bucket list, and then hit the bucket list a couple times. I was like, well, shit, I don't know if it gets any better than this. But that's pretty damn good, so I'll take it. So, you know, I'm sure there's one that's just not coming to mind right now. But, man, I wish I could think of something. Anything. I mean, fuck, if Metallica wanted me to get up and play with them, I'll do it. I don't give a shit, you know. It's not really on my bucket list, but I'll take it. Free of charge, no problem.
No, come on. Yeah, that would be very. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Right, exactly.
Now we made Blood of Our Enemies together.
Yes.
If you could make another beer right now, and let's say I hit you up and I say we're doing a collab, Brutal North America Part 2 is coming up. What beer would you make for Yakuza?
Okay, that's. Can I give another shout out to another brewery really quick? So
of course,
that beer was Matt McClellan, our guitar player's idea. He didn't want to make a run of the mill IPA. I guess am fans of run of the mill IPAs. So Wake Brewing is making it should be ready just about right now. They're doing a hazy IPA that I helped. Helped them put together. They did all the legwork. I just threw a couple of, you know, things out to them. So I was going to say that we decided that every beer that we do as a band, each of us gets to dictate what the style is. So
very cool.
I have a feeling the next beer will be Jim, and I think he's going to deviate from the IPAs, and we probably might go into the stout world, you know, something fun. I don't know, but yes. We'll go to the dark side of the beers, and if something, I don't know, I want to say like a cherry style, but a hint of cherry, nothing crazy. Maybe, you know, aged in some bourbon barrels. I did work for Goose Island for a long time, you know, so I got the Bourbon County Stout. I used to steal growlers of it back in the 90s for my dad and I, you know. I think I'm cool now. I can say that I didn't steal it. I paid for it. I just wasn't supposed to fill up growlers full of that stuff. But anywho, yeah. So I think we might go stout. That's the next one. So if you're asking, there you go.
Very cool. I like it. Last time, we wrapped up with my classic wrap-up question. I wonder if your answer is still the same. You mentioned that a Jepson's Malort, a shot of that is your perfect hangover cure. Has your hangover cure evolved since 2020? Let's wrap up with that.
I gave up the Jepson Malort thing about a year ago. and it is no longer a hangover cure for me or or a shot of choice for that matter. So, you know, I haven't been drinking to the point of like waking up with like a serious hangover lately. But if I did, I would probably have a beer. There you go. How about that? And honestly, I mean, I just like a cold IPA. There's actually a company, Son of Juice, Maplewood. It's a Chicago beer. I love that beer. And even when I had COVID for the first time, like a while back, I couldn't eat for like 24 hours. But the only thing I wanted was one cold beer. And so I hit the wife. I'm like, I just have a craving for a cold beer. And she's like, have it. And I'm like, okay. Had the beer and I felt that much better. Actually, I felt that much better. But
simple pleasures.
Yeah, simple pleasures. So yeah, I'd probably go for a beer. That'd be the hangover cure, you know.
Amazing. Bruce, thank you so much for coming back, having a chat with me about your life, music, craft beer. Very stoked about the new Yakuza Sutra coming out May 19th, Svart Records. Everyone gets stoked. Yakuza's back and you know, they're avant-garde. Come on. Cheers.
Avant-garde. Cheers, Matt. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, do I love Bruce Lamont. Such a cool guy. Just so goddamn interesting. Just so creative. I love speaking to people in multiple projects. I love speaking to creative individuals that just have a multitude of musical identities. I just find that super interesting and inspiring. Massive cheers to Bruce for being awesome, for hooking me up with some stuff, for hanging out with me again. I am very much looking forward to finally meeting you face to face, hopefully soon. Bruce, you rule. Everyone go check out that brand new Yakuza record. It's coming out this Friday. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. When you do that, you shall receive one email a week that contains all of the details of everything that has happened recently in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You will see which episodes I dropped recently. You will get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will also get to hear about any projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public, such as my massive global beer collab project, Pit Culture. You will get to find out which collabs are dropping next, and you'll also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you'll get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops metal podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing, so please, do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops metal podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I have one more episode coming up this Friday, all about Yakima Chief Hops Presents Vox and Hops Haze Wars. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, you. Do you have any plans this year? Ha! How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020'd.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.